Hi, welcome to Forever Paranormal with Dr. Bill and Deb. The term paranormal refers to phenomena and experiences that are beyond the scope of normal scientific understanding and cannot be easily explained through traditional scientific principles. These phenomena often challenge conventional beliefs and are associated with the supernatural, metaphysical, or unexplained aspects of reality. As with any field of inquiry, it is essential to approach the paranormal with an open but critical mind, relying on empirical evidence and logical reasoning to draw conclusions. It's a topic that continues to intrigue and challenge both believers and skeptics alike, and if we can connect a paranormal element to it, we'll talk about it. You'll be surprised by what all can be connected to the paranormal. Please don't forget to follow, rate, and share the show, since it would not be possible without you, our listeners. And as a public service, we would like to let everyone know that you are truly never alone, even if you think you are. The Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is 988. Please just reach out. Well, hello there, and welcome to this week's episode, where we are going to discuss a long-believed CIA conspiracy theory that has been proven to be true. We'll learn of some of the atrocities in it and at least one of the benefits that came out of it in a roundabout way. Hi, Deb.
Hi.
How are you this week? You cursing your long-awaited spring due to the high pollen that is upon us?
Oh, no, I'm not gonna do that.
Oh, okay.
I'm thankful for spring.
Good, me too. Well, I, for one, can't wait to hear what you have for us this week. But before we get there, I want to go over something that is still happening in today's world. Not 200, 300, or even 500 years ago, and it just completely boggles my mind. This news headline from CBS News definitely grabbed my attention. And it says, 50 die in witchcraft rituals after drinking mysterious liquid, according to the CBS report. It goes on to say, about 50 people have died in Angola after being forced to drink an herbal potion to prove they were not sorcerers, police and local authorities said Thursday. The deaths occurred between January and February near the central town of Kamakupa, according to Louisa Filemon, a local counselor. Police confirmed that 50 people had died. Apparently, belief in old-world witchcraft is still common in some rural Angolan communities, despite the strong opposition from the church in the predominantly Catholic former Portuguese colony. It's a widespread practice to make people drink the supposed poison because of the belief in witchcraft. Local police spokesperson Antonio Hasse told the radio network, warning that cases were on the rise. Angola does not have laws against witchcraft, leaving communities to deal with the issue as they see fit. Just like in the old European witchcraft days, allegations of sorcery are often settled by traditional healers or marabouts by having the accused ingest a toxic herbal drink called bulongo. Death is believed by many to prove guilt. I will be the first to say, as someone who practices this, I sure as hell am glad I live in the USA. Well, enough on that. Please go ahead with what you have for us this week, Deb.
Everyone at some point in their life has wondered about the key to happiness, right?
Yeah.
Did you know that Finland has been ranked the happiest country in the world for the last 6 years?
I knew it was ranked highly up, but I didn't know it was the happiest.
Apparently. Recently, an article was published regarding four phrases Finnish people use every day, according to a Finnish psychologist. It's not so much about the phrase, rather it's about the values and culture that play a role in their approach to life. First, there is the belief that if you have found happiness, you shouldn't show it. It's human nature to compare oneself with others. However, in Finland, the people tend to be oblivious to this as it has a negative effect on happiness.
Okay.
Second, the pessimist will never be disappointed. It's an old Finnish saying, essentially, setbacks are a part of life, and whatever the situation, acceptance while focusing on what can be controlled and can be improved will help you through rough times. The third phrase has roots in ancient Rome about how we all have to forge our own happiness. It is not given to us. And lastly, they believe there are aspects of our lives we can influence or change, and some we cannot control. Life gives, life takes. No matter what, summer comes to us all. I feel like these are not ideas that were created by the Finnish people, rather teachings that all of us have probably heard at one point or another in our lives. Perhaps the world could be a happier place if everyone tried to practice one or more of them.
Now, that's a really good point. You know, you don't want to be overjoyed or, you know, show a lot of emotion about winning or being happy while making the other person feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that goes along a little bit with everybody gets a trophy deal. I'm not sure.
Maybe, but I think it's the way you look at it.
I think it is. But that's a pretty cool concept. Thanks for bringing that to us. I appreciate that. So this week, folks, we're going to find out just what MKUltra, the Gateway Project, and HemiSync are all about. The really scary thing about this is a pattern with not only the government, but also some in the medical field using us as guinea pigs. I mean, just Google the Tuskegee Syphilis Experiment, where the CDC, then called the Public Health Service between 1932 and 1972, supposedly treated 600 black men for syphilis. But, in reality, they were being lied to and not being treated so the government could study the long-term effects of the untreated disease on the human mind. All right, that's enough on this atrocity. Let's move on to another. Let's take a look into what MKUltra was. MKUltra was a covert and highly controversial mind control program conducted by the Central Intelligence Agency, better known as the CIA, in the United States during the Cold War era. It operated from early 1950s until the early to mid 1970s. The program's primary goal was to develop techniques for mind control and behavior modification, including the use of drugs, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, and select psychological manipulation. How alcohol affected the drugs, how the drugs affected the alcohol, everything else. It was crazy. Supposedly, the CIA's interest in mind control techniques stemmed from concerns about interrogation methods, as well as the desire to gain an advantage in intelligence gathering and covert operations. MKUltra involved experiments on human subjects, often without their consent or knowledge, which raised significant ethical and legal questions.
How did this happen without the subjects knowing?
Well, you got to remember, a lot of the subjects were military people, and they were just given orders to go do this, go take that, get this shot, drink this water, drink this grapefruit juice, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed orders blindly, Deb, and they didn't know what was going on. They just followed orders blindly. I'm sure there's a good amount of lying going along with that, too, being told one thing and something else is being done. I mean, let's look at the Muskegee deal, right? So, I mean, the government has a strong reputation of that. You know, some of the experiments conducted under MKUltra were extremely controversial and unethical. They included administering LSD and other psychoactive drugs to unwitting subjects, including CIA employees, military personnel, prisoners, and individuals from marginalized communities. The program also involved experiments in hypnosis, sensory deprivation, and other forms of psychological manipulation.
I have to wonder, what did these people think they were taking and why they were taking it?
Well, you know, a lot of the prisoners in marginalized communities and stuff, they would go into the prisons and stuff, and they wouldn't tell them they were the CIA giving this stuff or smuggling these things into the prisoners. They were giving them drugs and this and that that always goes on in prisons, but they weren't getting the drugs they thought they were getting. They were getting what the CIA wanted them to have so they could observe what was going on with them.
Oh.
You know, so it makes you wonder if the use of illicit drugs is why there was an Air America, which was the CIA's smuggling program using airplanes. Did our government help set up illegal drug distributions in this country? I mean, talk about getting some black fund money. I mean, we know they were doing that clear back when Ollie North with the Iran-Contra affair was going on, except it was guns and weapons instead of drugs that time. So we know that they do it. MKUltra was shrouded in secrecy, and many of its records were destroyed back in 1970s after the program was officially terminated amid public scrutiny and congressional investigations. The revelations about MKUltra led to widespread condemnation and contributed to increased oversight of intelligence agencies and stricter regulations governing human experimentation. One thing that didn't get destroyed, apparently, was some financial records of MKUltra. And what they did is they followed the money trail. That's what led them to all this stuff, for all this to come out.
I just don't get why there has to be experimentation on humans at all.
Well, if you want to know how you can control a human's mind, how you can make someone confess to things, how you can get spies to talk, how you can train your spies not to talk, no matter what they're put through, what better way to test than on the people themselves? Mm. I mean, you can't test it on a crash test dummy. So, yeah, they did a lot of experimentation on human beings. Mm. I mean, the full extent of MKUltra program remains unknown, Deb. And much of what is known comes from declassified documents and testimony from individuals involved in the program. However, its legacy continues to raise important questions about the ethical boundaries of government-sponsored research and the potential abuse of power in the pursuit of national security and its objectives. And if you don't think that still goes on, just take a deep dive into what the Patriot Act does and what it allows the government to do. Who is behind this, and why would the CIA get into this at all? Well, they claim national security. But don't believe that crap for a minute. It's about control and was created and run by a chemist named Sidney Gottlieb. Journalist Stephen Kinzer, who spent several years investigating the program, calls the operation, quote, the most sustained search in history for techniques of mind control, unquote. Some of Gottlieb's experiments were covertly funded at universities and research centers. There's that black fund money stuff again. While others were conducted in American prisons and in detention centers in Japan, Germany, and Philippines. So we were doing it all across the world to people. Many of his unwitting subjects endured psychological torture, which ranged from electroshock to high doses of LSD. Man, that's terrifying. Gottlieb wanted to create a way to seize control of people's minds, and he realized it was a two-part process. First, you had to blast away the existing mind, and second, you had to find a way to insert a new mind into the resulting void. We didn't get too far on number two, but he did do a lot of work on number one.
Oh my goodness.
It's impossible to measure the human cost of these experiments. We don't know how many people died. We know that some did. And how many lives were definitely, permanently destroyed? Ultimately, Gottlieb concluded that mind control was not possible.
What happened to Gottlieb?
Well, like any good government employee, this program was shut down and he was put in charge of several others and had a very nice long career working for the government of the United States.
So he was never held accountable. Nobody's ever been held accountable for all of that.
No one has ever been held accountable for any of this. They never are.
Okay.
All right? But don't think for a second that they stop there. We learn in episode 12, Goats, Spies, and Third Eyes, that this is about the same time frame that Stanford University started the remote viewing program, which the CIA named Stargate in 1975, when it officially admitted its involvement. This type of program has had various names over the years and is still strong in its ongoing in PSYOPs in different ways. In a 1985 decision on a related case, the U.S. Supreme Court wrote that MKUltra wasn't just one project. It was 162 different projects that were indirectly financed by the CIA, but were contracted out to various universities, research foundations, and similar institutions. In all, at least 80 institutions and 185 researchers participated, but many claimed they didn't know they were dealing with the CIA. So, how does this tie into the Gateway process? Well, in 1971, Robert Monroe started the Monroe Institute, whose early goals were defined as the development or learning methods and techniques solely through practical environmental changes, no chemical, drug, or dietary stimulation whatsoever. This is definitely a 180-degree turn from the way MKUltra was trying to control consciousness. And just for the record, the Monroe Institute's still strong going today. But it's never been proven that CIA money helped start the Institute, and I'm definitely not here trying to say that they were. I will say that Bob Monroe was close and worked closely with some people from Stanford University's programs by the name of Russell Targ and Pat Price, who was said to be an exceptional remote viewer. Again, we talked about these men in episode 12, and Targ knew he was working with the government. It was very clear. The Gateway process is a training system developed by the Monroe Institute during the 1970s that uses meditation-like techniques combined with sound technology to facilitate altered states of consciousness. Okay, so let's cut through the scientific jargon about quantum mechanics and neuroscience. So the theory behind the Gateway process, in its simplest terms, is that syncing the left and right hemispheres of your brain can lead to an out-of-body experience, the process of hemisync. The brain is achieved through meditating while listening to binaural beats. This, in turn, allows one to enter universal consciousness, the Akashic Records, or other realms, as you may see. In other words, people who partake in the practice believe that with the right technologies and guidance, humans can become capable of training their consciousness to be able to travel beyond the barriers of space-time, allowing our minds to explore the universe and other realities. Our minds become no longer confined to the space-time dimension we're all so familiar with.
Okay, so if anyone can do it, why do you think it is not widely practiced or taught?
A lot of it has to do with religions, the different religions you believe in and stuff. Certain religions believe this, and they are practiced, and you get your yogis and stuff that are able to do this. Many people don't have the time or the discipline to do this. Some people simply don't have the desire to do this. They don't want to know what else is there. I kind of get that.
Maybe they don't know that it's possible, because nobody's ever made that available to them.
True as well. Maybe people don't know it's out there, but we're helping people find that out. You know, in 2003, a 28-page document was declassified by the CIA and is called Analysis and Assessment of the Gateway Process. The CIA's Gateway Report was produced by Isaac Bentov, an Israel-American engineer in biomedicine and Colonel Wayne M. McDonald, a U.S. Army lieutenant. Let's note here that this was supposed to be a 29-page document, and it appears that page 25 was missing from the CIA release. This, of course, started a rabbit hole conspiracy of what the mysterious page 25 contained. Through years of numerous requests being made to get a hold of the climactic page 25 that was missing from McDonald's report, for most of these filings, the CIA has claimed there never even was a page 25 in their possession at any point. But this has only fueled the determination of those who believed in the existence and wanted answers. Everyone from casual readers to government transparency activists to conspiracy theorists. And even some of these theorists also suspect that McDonald intentionally omitted page 25 from the report, which may or may not be the case.
What if it was just one of those blank pages you see in official documents that separate sections, you know, like your health care policy or something like that?
That's a good question, a good point. But lo and behold, it wasn't. Someone finally had the common sense to go to the Monroe Institute to see if they had a copy of the report that was complete and contained the infamous 25th page. After much ado about this, the Monroe Institute finally released a missing page, and the full 29-page report is now available. What do you think of that? It wasn't a blank page.
Okay.
Maybe McDonald did intentionally leave out page 25 of the report when he sent it to the commander of the U.S. Army Operational Group in Fort Meade, Maryland. This just happens to be the same place and same location of Operation Grill Flame, which started in 1978 using both military and civilian psychics.
What is that, Operation Grill Flame?
Oh, I'll give you a reminder. As we spoke about it in episode 12, it's the remote viewing, part of the remote viewing program that the government was using to spy during the Cold War.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The beginning of the missing page is a continuation of the last paragraph and last sentence on page 24 and states, quote, "The eternal thought or concept of self, which results from this self-consciousness, serves the absolute as the model around which the evolution of time-space revolves to ultimately attain a reflection of the union with him." You know, McDonald often refers to the absolute in his report on the gateway process, which is an infinite energy field that exists outside of time-space, as he writes, but is typically referred to as space-time nowadays. The last line before delving into this long-missing page 25 of the report described the absolute as the ceiling of the universal conglomeration of energy and existence, the ultimate. Between the absolute and the material universe in which we experience our physical existences are various intervening dimensions to which human consciousness and altered states of being may gain access, McDonald writes. Theoretically, human consciousness may continue to expand the horizons of its perceptual capability until it reaches the dimension of the absolute, at which point perception stops because the absolute generates new holograms of or about itself. It just is. When the energy of motion is measured, this is what we call time. Well, according to physicists anyway. However, in more simplified terms, time can be more accurately described as the amount of change being measured, whether it's an environmental or in a specific object. Remember that time is a man-made concept, and this report appears to completely back this up. He goes on to say, larger vibratory patterns have to provide limits for the necessary motion for change to occur, though. Definitive location must be pinpointed within the framework to make this particular location distinct from other areas in overall space. In other words, you got to find a specific certain frequency. As we've talked about many times before, uncontained energy has no limits. So it becomes a force that is incapable of being held back from permeating and existing in all locations. McDonald explains further by telling us that this state of absolute refers to the fact that there becomes no way to separate the details of where here is compared to where there may be. It's simply the absolute. The Gateway Report describes the absolute as the primary force of energy within our universe. But it is all of that energy and everything. It is the force responsible for powering our entirety and this hologram of our universe. The report sets the stage by describing our cosmic egg or universal hologram as a massive spiral that flows continuously, intertwined somewhere between this absolute energy and what we perceive is our own reality, and there are an endless number of dimensions. This seems to fit right in with what we currently understand about the string theory, doesn't it? Well, McDonald goes on to describe how nearly every religion in the history of our planet has incorporated some type of stylized representation of this universal spiral. He says, whether it's the Chinese spiral through the four powers, the Hebrew tree of life, the Hindu equivalent of the same, the labyrinth described by Hellenic world, or the Holy Spirit of Christianity. These are all the same area of thought and has infiltrated all of these beliefs and become part of their primary teaching. The report goes into great depth, not only what this is about, but also how to achieve it through HemiSync. McDonald himself went through this process of HemiSync at the Moreau Institute, so he would be able to accurately report on what it was he would experience. McDonald concludes the report by suggesting a phased approach for entering the gateway experience in an accelerated mode would be needed to reach an advanced state of altered consciousness. What I couldn't find out is what Monroe did after this. I wasn't able to come up with anything on that. The Monroe Institute accomplished this through the use of two different techniques. The first technique, you use headphones to introduce an external frequency that is easily recognizable, and it triggers the brain to attempt to copy or mimic this frequency by making adjustments to the output of the brainwaves. This is called frequency following response. As an example, when a brain is resting, it is in a beta level of frequency. Upon hearing a theta level sound, though, it will deviate from being in beta and automatically jump to the other frequency, the theta level. The second technique utilized is referred to as beat frequency, which is when frequencies of a contrasting nature are presented to each of the person's ears, allowing the brain to begin to hear these distinct differences between these two frequencies. By causing the brain to hear one type of frequency through one ear and another in the opposite, your brain then becomes capable of hearing the frequency of the difference of the two sounds, opening up to perception of additional frequencies that are only audible at a nearly marginal or subliminal level. To me, this is extremely fascinating to try and understand not only ourselves, but everything that there is. Well, Deb, we've covered this now, so what do you think?
It's a little confusing for me. So is there a simple explanation? Just one sentence to sum it all up?
Sure, I'll give it a try here. In other words, they're saying that everything is on frequencies and vibrations and the universe is all one and everything's tied together. And you've got to get your both sides of your brain synced, in other words, working together. And that's what these binaural beats are, to be able to let our minds expand into this consciousness. Our minds are taught not to expand into this consciousness. So this helps us get in there. Did that help?
Yeah, and how does that relate to string theory?
Well, string theory has, you know, a minimum of 12 dimensions, mm-hmm. or 11 dimensions, and possibly unlimited, in order to work to say this is how the universe started. So it would be a circular connection for an unlimited amount of universes. So that's how I believe it ties in.
Okay.
Because I know, I for one, am planning to look into the Monroe Institute's programs a little bit more. They're pricey. And they may have many things from free meditation. They do have many things from free meditations to in-person hemi-sync programs. It's fascinating. I mean, all I can say is this type of deal may lead to something we're looking for. There has to be more. What's after this? We're all looking for what's next, right? Well, folks, we are curious on what you think about these possibilities and would love to hear them. And with that, we're going to go ahead and bring this one to a close. Thanks for listening, and until next time when we discuss another tale yet to be told. Thank you for listening, and remember to like and share the show. We would also appreciate a 5-star rating wherever possible to help new listeners find the show. We welcome all questions or comments you may have about this or any other episode, and our contact information can be found in the show notes of this episode. You can also follow us at foreverparanormal.com. And if you'd like to support us, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/foreverparanormal. The links to these are also in the show notes of this episode.